Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Cheryl's going to come and sing for us now. Thank you, Cheryl. One of my favorite singers right here, you guys. Give her a hand, will you? Keep your hands warm there.
They're struggling, Lord. I know that they are, and I'm not really sure what to say. I'd like nothing more than to just speak the words and take all those dark times away. Gather them close in your arms, dear Lord. Whisper your love in their ears. Help them to trust you unwaveringly. Quiet their mind and their fears. When their burden is heavy and they can't see their way, when lifting their head can't be done, let them just feel the touch of your hand and the presence of Jesus, your Son. When each day seems like too much to handle, when anxiety's taking its toll, when it's all just too much and they want to give up, grant them peace in the depths of their soul. Give them the dreams of their struggling heart. Bless them in infinite ways. Help them to make you the Lord of their life through these trying and difficult days.
We press on. Cheryl, that is a beautiful song. I'm telling you, the recitation is as good as the song, too. And then you do that so well. That's a gift of the Campbell family right there, is what that is. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's pray together before we read the scriptures too, shall we? Lord, we're your people, and this is your book, and Hannah's story here is our story in so many ways. So I ask that you lift your people, comfort us today, challenge us, instruct us in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, 1 Samuel. There was a certain man from Nathan, a Zuphite from the hill county of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah. Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. My hardest part of the sermon is over. Verse 2. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty in Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests for the Lord. I want you to stop for a moment. Do you notice the historical setting of the Bible? We know the Bible is the Word of God for a lot of reasons, and we know that it is set in history. It's not just some idea. This is an actual occurrence, an event that happened. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife, Peninnah, and to her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now, Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. That is the tabernacle. It was a tent at this time before the building. This is 1,000 years before Christ. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. She made a vow saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." That would be a Nazarite vow, which was a devotion to God completely for all of life. It was a Jewish thing. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart. Her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my lord," she replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." And Eli answered, "Go in peace. May the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." And then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. There are so many incredible stories in the Bible of people who are struggling. You know, you look at our world today and you wonder, has it ever been like this before? And I say to you, yeah, the upheaval, the anarchy almost that's taking place, was taking place in this time. In the days of Hannah was the time of the judges. And at the end of the book of Judges, there is this statement. In those days, they had no king, and everyone did what they saw fit, or everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Man, that is going on right now. Like crazy. Our world is just upside down, it seems like. So Hannah was in this world where there was all this upheaval, and at the same time, her own personal pain was incredible. And I'll tell you, it can scare you. I had a funeral last week for a little friend of mine, and she was 97 years old. And when the funeral was over, we're going to lead the casket out of the room where the funeral took place into that hallway that comes into the great area when you first walk in. Well, there was this little 10-year-old girl, real precocious. She was saying, I'm going to help. Come on, I want to help. And so the funeral director, since she wouldn't leave us alone, said, sure, you can help me. Why don't you stand right here with me and let's push grandma, great-grandma out. In fact, it was great-great-grandma out. We pushed her out. And the front of the casket went into the main hallway area. The rest of it stayed back in the smaller hallway, and you can only see half of the casket. Her grandfather is a great big guy sitting on a settee in the main vestibule area with his cane. So he's sitting by the edge of the casket. Now, we had all walked away from that to prepare things to put the casket in the hearse. We didn't realize the little girl never left. She stayed behind the casket. So I'm watching the old guy on the settee with his cane when the little girl pushed the casket and it moved seemingly by itself. And the old guy went, nee-nee-nee. Like, you ever see the Three Stooges? That whole thing. Sometimes the whole world just makes you go, nee-nee-nee, all the time. Not just our own personal lives that can be a mess, but the world in which we live, that is a mess. So Hannah's in this situation too, in this marriage. She's the first wife that couldn't have children. Elkanah, her husband, decided to get a second wife so he could have children. Man, it didn't work out well. He wanted children. All he got was a divided family. And by the way, do you know, it was the beginning of the Christian church that finally ended polygamy. Because it was to the leaders in Ephesus that Paul wrote that an elder or a pastor needed to be the husband of but one wife. No polygamy. Interesting how that was dealt with. But here's Hannah, caught in the midst of it all. I just want you to see the pile of stuff that she had to deal with. Number one, Hannah's heartache. She didn't have any children. In those days, when you didn't have children, it meant a couple of things. First of all, children were seen, and they should be seen, as a blessing from the Lord. For instance, Psalm 127, children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring are a reward from Him. But it was a mark of God's blessing, and she didn't have children. And what that meant within the society is, you know, what did you do? Why is it that God has judged you? Like, that's always, it was always happening within that society. She knew the Lord. She knew He was kind. And she was confused by the whole thing and didn't know what to do. And then the other side of it is that children, not your husband, were your social security. Her husband was probably much older than her. And when something happened to him, she was on her own. She had nothing. Everything he had would go to the firstborn son of Peninnah. So she was in a terrible situation. She had this great heartache. In fact, it says, you know, in the beginning of all of this, in verse 2, Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Literally, Hannah had nothing. So she had this heartache. And then she had this helplessness. The other wife is referred to a few times by her name, but also referred to as her rival. Oh, gosh. The competition was awful. And the competition caused this Peninnah to become aggressive and demeaning and angry and hurtful to Hannah, continually. What's wrong with you? You can't give our husband anything. What did you do to deserve this? And it says in verse 7 that this went on year after year, which means it just got worse and worse and worse. And at this point, it had been years and years of this. Man, it was tough. You know, they say time heals all wounds. Not this one, because it just got worse. Do you find yourself in that kind of situation? Misunderstood? Uncared for by people in your very own family. You might find yourself that way. But abusive situations, man, they can go on for years and years. I remember a few years ago, I had a little old lady come to see me. I helped her up into my study because of the stairs. And she was so upset with her sister. She was 92. Her sister was 94. She told me about how difficult her sister had been for all these years. I said, well, when did all this start? She said, 1939. It had been going on for that long. It just went on and on, and she was just beside herself, didn't know what to do. Maybe you find yourself in that kind of a situation. She had a heartache. She was in the midst of this helplessness, it seemed, being abused by this other wife. Isn't that a weird situation? Oh, and even better, she had a dense husband. She had this clueless husband. Look what he did. Didn't help much. He thought he was being kind, but he was just complicating everything. At the sacrifice time, he would give a portion of the food to Peninnah, his wife, and then to each of all of her sons and daughters, the whole crew. But to Hannah, because he loved her, he gave her a double portion because she didn't have any children. It just complicated the whole thing. First of all, it just kept emphasizing the fact of her situation. And it made Peninnah even more jealous. You love her and you don't love me. Oh, gosh, it was awful. He didn't have a clue. He was trying to be kind, but it didn't work. And then he thought he was being comforting, but he was actually just condescending and judgmental. He said to her in verse 8, when she was weeping, Hannah, as she's weeping in verse 8, he says to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Come on, he knows why. Why are you downhearted? Are you kidding? Have you paid attention for the last 22 years? And then the last is, don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Just like a man. Just like a man. Guys, listen, don't say that stuff. He should have said, you mean more to me than 10 sons. But it was so important to him, he had to get the second wife. Man, that's weird stuff, isn't it? So she had a heartache. She had this helpless thing going on with her rival. She had this clueless husband. And one more thing. She had a heartless pastor. Look at Eli. Eli the priest. He observed her mouth in the end of verse 12. Verse 13, Hannah was praying in her heart. Her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Man, talk about pile on. Pastors can be abusive. And a big part of the ministry of Community Bible Church has been helping people be loved back to their relationship to Jesus after being wounded in difficult church situations where you go somewhere for help and you are only abused. Man, the thousands of conversations I've had over the last 40 years of listening to people talk about that as they came here, it is really something, you guys. The times when you could just cry with people. Times you'd hear stories and you had to swallow your rage because you wanted to find this guy and hurt him. Or the times when I picked up the telephone and called 911 and a police officer had to come and hear the story. Today, in the news, there's that whole thing of the Pope in Rome called back all the cardinals to have a 4-day meeting over priest-child sexual abuse. It's about time. And it's about time they start prosecuting anybody that does anything like that. Are you kidding me? And the way they were protected and things hidden and records destroyed for years. God have mercy. But here's Hannah. She's got this heartache, this helplessness, this clueless husband, and this heartless pastor. Now, he was judgmental as heck. You know, Job's comforters are everywhere in your life. You ever notice the comforters that showed up to help Job when his children were killed and he lost everything? Read the book of Job. I mean, his four buddies showed up and they did the smart thing for a week and shut up and just sat there with him. But then they had to start running their mouths. And he said, you people are worthless comforters. And they would give him some more stuff. And he goes, oh, surely wisdom is going to die with you. That was a nice Hebrew way of calling someone an idiot, you know? I mean, it just went, well, here we go. Even the pastor's piling on, thinking that she's a drunk. And the reason he was judgmental is because he had two sons named Hophni and Phinehas. And they were using their position in the priesthood to hit on women and make extra money. And God was going to kill those two in a few years. If you keep reading through 1 Samuel, it's pretty messy. He had never confronted those boys. He had never dealt with them about their wickedness. So he gets really, really discouraged and angry, and it's all underground, and he sees one person and he starts judging. Man, I tell you, we can become angry, weird Christians because of our own personal baggage. And that's what happened here. We've all been down the road. We've all been abused. And that kind of situation, misunderstood, neglected by people who should have protected us and encouraged us. We all have stories like that. Hannah had the story too. So get it. Her heartache, her helplessness, her husband who's clueless, her heartless pastor. Now, usually, this drives people away from God. It causes us to become angry. I have friends who've become, they call themselves atheists. No, they're just trying to punish God because something bad happened in their lives and they think it's God's fault. And this it drives people away from God all the time, those kind of difficult situations where people go through hard times and are hurt and abused and they turn away from God. For Hannah, it drove her to God. Look where it drove her. Even though she was hurt and confused, she believed that the Lord was too wise to be wrong and too kind to be cruel. Even though she didn't understand it, she couldn't figure it out, she couldn't see a way out, but she went to the Lord. And we read in her prayer, Lord, if you will just give your servant a son, I will give him to you all the days of his life. It drove her there. God loves it when we go there. He loves to hear our brokenhearted cries. He doesn't love us to be brokenhearted. But when we run to him, he loves it. And she ran to him. Now I want you to notice something. After her prayer and all of this difficulty with Eli, in verse 16, she even left Eli with a good attitude. May your servant find favor in your eyes. And then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. All right. What brought this girl peace? In the midst of this awful situation, what was it that caused her to become centered again, to become restful again? What was it? She was still in the same situation. She still had to go back to the tent and listen to Peninnah take care of her children and scorn her. Her husband still didn't have any more of a clue when she got back to their tent. I mean, what was it? She all of a sudden is eating and her face changes. She's not grieving anymore. What was it? It's very interesting. In Psalm 73, this man, the writer of the psalm, is saying, I saw the wicked. I saw the stuff they were getting away with. I saw their riches. I saw how healthy they were. And I look at my own struggle and I didn't understand it until I went into the house of the Lord. And I remembered their end and your blessing to me. I mean, what Hannah did is that she just simply took her junk to God. She took it to the Lord and she left it there. The Bible says something very specific in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. This would be a really good verse for you. Philippians chapter 4, this is the New Testament, verse 7. You guys, most of you know it, but if you haven't, in verse 6 and 7, listen to this. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, there's nothing too small. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Pat Lesser, when she was dying, it was weird because she was very sick. She was in some pain. The prognosis was is that she just had months or days. And the peace that filled her little room, I would go in to encourage her and I would come out encouraged. You want to know why? Because Pat Lesser had laid it all down at Jesus' feet. And she was still dying. She was still going to be leaving her family soon. But it was astounding, her peace. Hannah had peace. Even though the situation hadn't changed, what changes us and gives us peace is laying it down to the Lord. Do you see how important that is? The Bible talks about it in the New Testament. Paul keeps using a particular word that we might bear up under our current situation. To bear up, that means you're not getting out from underneath what you're going through usually. That you're going to have to go through the process, but God will give us the strength to go through that process and in the midst of it all, give us his peace. I'm reminded of Helen Russ Verna. She was a medical student at Cambridge got her, did her medical work there. She went away as a missionary to the Belgian Congo in the day. And during the uprising of the 60s, most of her associates were killed and tortured. She herself was tortured and brutalized in every way. She came back home a shadow of her former self. And it was someone I love, Alistair Begg, who told the rest of her story. Alistair said that years ago he was able to sit with her for a little while when she was getting ready to go back and serve over there after that. And he said, I have to know, what gave you this peace and this assurance to go back? She said, I sensed in my heart the Lord saying, Helen, can you thank me for testing you with this, even if I never tell you why? Helen, can you thank me for testing you with this, even if I never tell you why? She struggled with it. But one day she got alone with the Lord and she said, yes. And she said the peace of God flooded her life. And suddenly she could deal with the pain and she had perspective again. In fact, in the best way possible, she was healed and went back to serve those people again. Now, I don't know what you've been through. Many things won't have answers until we get to heaven, but lay it down and you will finally be settled. What have you been carrying for all these years? What are the confusing things in your life? And we all have them. We don't understand why or how any of this happened or why God would allow this awful thing to happen to us. We don't know why. We don't know that answer until we see him. But if we will just lay that down and trust him and thank him in the midst of it all, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding, you won't be able to figure it out, will keep your hearts and minds. That's exactly what happened to Hannah. Oh, now, and do you remember the rest of the story? You need to read 1 Samuel. It's a great story. Judges, that I read to you, Judges 21:25, and they had no king, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Well, this little boy is born to Hannah. And when he's 3 years old, she takes him to Eli, the priest, and she made him a little priest's robe and left him there. And as a little boy, God started talking to little Samuel, who grew up to be the leader of Israel and turned that entire nation around. You know, I'm a historian and I love it. But I read about England being in a terrible situation, and I read about Susanna Wesley, who raised a big old brood of kids. And Charles and John turned England upside down for Jesus. It wasn't. And God has also raised up great politicians. But mostly he brings up people of God to speak to the culture. Whitfield was another who died. His father died when he was very young. And mom had to somehow keep this inn going. And he had to work a couple of different places and keep it. And somehow God called him in the midst of that, and he turned England and America upside down. We are still living in the afterglow. They believe that the American Revolution and the freedom that we enjoy now came because of the preaching of George Whitefield to the Americas in the early 1700s. Incredible stuff. Hannah's difficult situation was awful. But God used it to bring a little boy named Samuel that turned his world upside down. I don't know what God is going to do with your situation, but in the midst of this journey, it's got to be incredible. So God bless you all. Let's sing, shall we? All right, so you're in the midst of a very difficult time, and it's really good to remember that it's not always going to be like this. Heaven looks better to me every year. And so let's sing this one. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. Fly away in the morning.
fly away. Tom Hampton and the Glittering Gospel Singers. Thanks, girl. Oh, that was fun.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.